Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Exodus 16. I read verse 12 as text verse for the sermon. Exodus 16, verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. The theme for the sermon is Food from Heaven for Grumbling People. We have 3 points. First point, Journey through the wilderness. Second, Complaining against the Lord. And the third, Abundance provided by God. So the theme is Food from Heaven for Grumbling People. 3 points, Journey through the wilderness, Complaining against the Lord, and Abundance provided by God. Congregation was a young man, and he started a new study. He was very energetic and started being sure of success. And so he started to work. But over time, it became harder for him to be concentrated on his studies. Difficulties came up, and it wasn't that easy, he discovered. So he started to talk in a negative way, blame people, the professors, the teachers, and the course, and at a certain point he was ready to quit. You wouldn't expect that when you would see this person, this young man starting the study, but it happened. That's how things can change in life, isn't it? We might have that experience in our own life. We might have seen it in the lives of others. And we do see it here in the people of Israel, how things can change, how things do change, how we people are so changing when circumstances change. Then you think about it, God says, I am not changing. That's a wonder, that's a miracle, that God does not change like we do change all the time. Everything changing in this world, in society, in our lives, but God is the same. We remember that people were standing at the shore of the Red Sea. You see them there? They saw the enemy dead in the sea, Pharaoh and his army that were trying to destroy them. And God had conquered them. And they saw it and they were singing. They were full of joy. They rejoiced in the Lord. There's so much hope and expectation in the hearts. Everything will be well. Look what the Lord has done. So they started their journey in the wilderness. And then at a certain point they came in Elim. And there were water wells and palm trees. And they were refreshed. And it felt good. It was good to be there. Yeah, they couldn't stay there because this place was not big enough to settle there with that big number. No, that they couldn't stay there. That was a pity. They would have liked to stay there. It felt so good. It was so good to be there, to be refreshed. God knew what they needed. God was providing refreshment in due time. But they had to continue their journey. And that was hard. And they experienced that it was hard. So they entered into the wilderness, you could say. And their way, they say, their way at first into the wilderness, they went through a labyrinth of rich sandstone. If you would go there, it would give you the feeling like you enter the outer avenues of a great temple. And that's where they went, to journey in the wilderness. Well, actually, this wilderness was like a temple, was like a place to be with the Lord, in communion with the Lord. Was there any situation for the people of Israel that the Lord was more near to them, in even a visible way, where the clouds, the pillar of cloud was there, and in the night the pillar of fire, they could see it. The Lord, His glory, His guidance. And this wilderness was like a place of communion with the Lord, like a temple. But yeah, there was the heat and the weariness, the shadow of death, the thirst, the hunger. They were part of this situation, to feel their dependence of God. Well, isn't this a mighty illustration of the life of the church in this world, of the experience of a believer in this life? We can really say this life on earth is like a wilderness. But let it be like a temple. Let it be like a place of communion with God. And does God not show His presence? This week we hope to have Thanksgiving. Has God not shown in many ways His care, His providing for us, provision? Yes, He did. And the Lord is describing this situation of the people in the wilderness as a situation of communion with Him. We read in Jeremiah 2, verse 21, there the Lord says, I remember the kindness of thy youth, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. They were like a little child following the Lord, depending on the Lord, needing His guidance, receiving His provision. And the Lord says, in a time where they turned away to serve idols, to follow the lust and the desire of their own heart, I remember the kindness of thy youth, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. They lived in a real close relation with the Lord. What else did they have? They had nothing in the wilderness. And that was good, to keep them close to the Lord. So there is a benefit in living a life like in the wilderness, to have nothing else than the Lord, so that we will live in communion with Him. Do you understand that? No, that's not according to the desire of the flesh. But that's a great lesson we learn in this life when we lose everything and depend totally on the Lord. But to live in a close relation has its trial, isn't it? I served for like 10 years in a mission board. And when people go out for the mission work, there they live on a compound together closely, and they are surrounded by different culture and many times even danger. And there they live together on a compound, different people with different backgrounds, different characters. And what do you see? They need each other, and they live in a close relationship every day, all the time, you could say. And what happens many times there are conflicts, irritation, frustration. They live so close and they see so much of each other. And then, yeah, you have to deal with that as a board. And that's sad. You wouldn't expect that. People working in the mission work, it's revealing how we are in ourselves. Yeah, you get to know each other. We know that's also the case in a relation of marriage. You get to know each other very well. in a deeper and deeper way. And if there would not be love covering, how could a relation continue? But in the of the Lord is love in the relation of marriage, where you get to know each other in your weaknesses, in your wrong habits, in your, and yeah. So there's people in the world, and it was a time when they went after him. They lived very close to the Lord. But in this situation, it's also revealed who they are. How this people is cannot be hidden. But also it is revealed how God is to his people. He is providing food from heaven for a grumbling people. Can you explain that? Can you understand that? That's a miracle of the grace and the goodness of the Lord. And all God's children experience it in this life, that there is food from heaven for grumbling people. They get to know themselves in this relation with the Lord, and they get to know the Lord, and he becomes more exalted before their eyes, and they humble themselves more before the Lord. In the wilderness, there were no idols. They had to depend on the Lord, his guidance, protection, provision. And there were difficulties in the wilderness. There are difficulties in this life. But when we face a difficulty, a trial, an affliction, something that's very hard to us, we should remember we are at the point. At that moment, we are at the point of a discovery. When we are at a point of a difficulty, we are at a point of a discovery. God is going to teach us. I hope we are teachable. We didn't harden our hearts with bitterness and unbelief. We are at a point of a discovery of our helplessness, and the discovery of God's help. And we should always remember at those points, especially at those points, even more, that Christ came in the wilderness of this world. Is this world not a wilderness? All the suffering, all the tears, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the calamities, all the war, all the violence. And in every life and in every house, there is a cross and a pain. And Christ came in the wilderness of this world, in the midst of it. And he has taken the suffering for sin upon himself, for all those that would flee to him. He was willing to do that. He was willing from eternity, and he knew everything. We don't know at forehand what we will get into, but he knew. He knew it very well. Can you describe, can you find words for this love of Christ? That he was willing to do that. And do you know, he did it for me? Did you find that great comfort in your heart? This life is a journey through the wilderness. And the people in the wilderness were complaining against the Lord. It's our second thought, our second point. Complaining against the Lord. Yeah, the beginning may be hopeful, and at the end, we may be thankful. At the close, we may be thankful, but we have to go through it, huh? And then we will experience the trials also, especially of our temper. There was a trial of the temper of the people. when they were in a situation that they had lack of food. The food supply from Egypt was finished. There was no bread, no meat. And there was, yeah, it was wearing them. They were tired. There was no rest. They had to journey. No place where they could settle and feel at home. And if you have traveled, you have experienced that. And you're so happy when you come home. This is where I belong. This is where I can find rest. There was no rest. They were in a journey. They were traveling in the wilderness. And then it becomes clear that they cannot control their temper. They lose their temper. They start to murmur. They came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The whole congregation might have started with a few. What do you think about it? I feel hungry. I feel tired. And those leaders, well, it seems they cannot provide for us. And they start to be negative, to grumble. And this is contagious, you could say. It's spreading over the whole people. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. That happens easily. Starts with a few. And they influence others. It made such a difference in what way we influence people surrounding us. If we influence them in a grumbling way, in a negative way, or if we, by faith and prayer, have hope in our hearts and talk in that way to people surrounding us, to our neighbors. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." What? They say, well, it would be better if God had killed us in Egypt instead of bringing us in the wilderness. In Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. How is it possible? How dare they say this? How unreasonable they are. How they lose their temper. And it's not true. It's not true what they say. When they look back, they speak about Egypt as a place of abundance. Place of food and bread and everything there. What? How did they cry when they were in Egypt? They cried to God that He would deliver them. They were under cruel slave masters. And they were forced to throw their children in the Nile to kill their dear children. Now they speak, they look back, it's like they look through a filter. They only see the positive things, they see that there was food. And they forget about the deep suffering they had there. They were slaves, no freedom. How much they have cried to get out of it. It would be better to be in Egypt. How unreasonable we can be. And we are. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They accuse their leaders, Moses and Aaron. You brought us here because you want to kill us in the most terrible way with hunger. Everybody of us. That's what they say against Moses and Aaron. The two leaders God had given them. to lead them to the promised land, a grumbling people. Well, let's think about ourselves. It's always good to make an application to our own lives and to examine our own lives. Did you ever lose your temper? Say, what a question. It happens so many times that I lose my temper. I think we all have to say that. How easily we will lose our temper when the things seem to be against us. Things do not go smooth. When we feel tired. And they say when you would like to discuss something in marriage, well, you better don't do that when you come home after a day of work and you're hungry before the meal. No, you don't bring up difficult things at that moment, because people are so at a point of losing their temper, probably. They are tired. Remember, there was a man who had a hard time at his work, and he got frustrated about what happened at his work, and when he would come home, then there it had to happen. It's kind of, he unloaded there all his frustration to his family. That's terrible. That's horrible. But it happens. People lose their temper. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's meekness. It's also self-discipline. Now we need it. We need it a lot, isn't it? So that people surrounding us or our families will not suffer by our losing our temper when we are hungry, when we are tired. Maybe your health is not so good. You have a low energy. And then to be patient and try to be understanding and have self-control, self-discipline and meekness. Well, that's what God wants us. If that is the fruit of the Spirit, that's what God is, that's his purpose, how we should live. Oh, we're all ashamed, are we not? Maybe when we were thinking about his history, we were looking to the people and thought, well, how could they do this? What would you do, what would I do in the heat of the wilderness, of the sun? And being hungry and having a lack of rest, no rest, and the shadow of death. They were really scared that they would die in the wilderness. There were so many dangers. And then they lose their temper. But now we look in the mirror and we see our own lives. How many times did it happen to us? And that's not what God wants us to do. We have to be ashamed. We have to be honest about our own lives. Oh Lord, we are not better. We are sinners before Thee. We get to know ourselves, isn't it, in the light of the Word. Pride has to leave our heart. There's no boasting in us. Who are we? We get to understand this tax collector standing there far off in the temple. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then at the same time, looking in this mirror, seeing the light of Scripture shining over our lives, being ashamed about ourselves, then to look to God. And then to see in this history how patient God is. There's only one word we can use for what the people do here. It's horrible. The way they accuse their leaders, the way they speak about Egypt, it's most terrible. And I would really think that at this point fire would come from heaven. That God is going to punish these people. That his wrath is going to be experienced. You and I wouldn't be surprised about it, would we? I mean, this is so bad what they do. But that doesn't happen. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, food from heaven, instead of fire from heaven. Can you understand that? Is there any connection between 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4? Is there any way that we can understand the relation between those two verses? I cannot. There's just one word for it. This is a miracle. This is the wonder of God's mercy. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. But there is a test in this situation, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And that's described in the next part, which we didn't read, but we do know it probably, that the people had to gather. But the 6 days, they would gather a double portion. And then the 7th day they would rest was a Sabbath day. They had to trust the Lord and obey, and they failed in that as well. And the Lord knew it at forehand. But still he says, I will rain bread from heaven for you. So it must be so clear to all of us. God does not do these things for any merits in them. But it's only his amazing love and faithfulness. Is he not showing here in a very powerful way that he is the God of the covenant? That he is faithful to an unfaithful people, a grumbling people. And he is providing for them. And there is such a great encouragement in this history when you think about it. When you got to know yourself, and when you cannot cover it anymore. Well, that's just how I am. You know, I have a short temper, and well, that's... I cannot help it. That's how I am born. If you still speak about yourself in that way, well, you're not honest about facing reality, how you and I are in the eyes of God. You try to cover it. I hope you came to the point, a moment in your life, that you couldn't do that anymore. You got convicted. And then you feel bad. You feel helpless and kind of hopeless. How can there be mercy for such a person as I am? What can I expect? Look how I am. We feel bad about ourselves. It's a hard feeling, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not good at all. You know, we like to think that we are good. But then we have to see, no, that's not true. I'm not good. I'm not better than other people. I have such a short temper. I'm not patient. I cannot take much. I'm not the way God wants me to be. And then to read his history. And then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven. Is that possible, God? Thou wouldst be merciful to me, that I would receive thy provision for my body and for my soul. Well, there's no way that I can say that I deserve it. Yeah, that's how God is. You need faith to trust that this is true. You need to rely on the Lord while you're helpless and guilty, have nothing to pay. And it shall come to pass that on the 6th day they shall prepare that which when they bring in, that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And I will provide rest. There will be a Sabbath day. I will provide rest. I will give them food. I will give them rest. I will give them everything. That's the gospel. Christ says, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. I will rain bread. That's what the Lord says. And Christ says, that's what I am. He is sent into this world. He came into this world to save sinners, a grumbling people, food from heaven for a grumbling people, for sinners, for enemies, for people that turn against who? They turn against Moses and Aaron, but actually they turn against the Lord. Their murmuring is against God. We should never forget it. And that's what Moses is telling them. He says, who are we? Your murmuring is against the Lord. And that's the same with us. That's true for us as well. We also have a heart that's ready to grumble, isn't it? The circumstances are not like we would like them to be, and we complain about it. We grumble. Maybe we can hide it pretty good, but it's in our hearts. We are irritated. We are frustrated. We think we deserve better. Why does this happen to me? Look to other people, how prosperous they are, and it seems everything is against me. Yeah, you experience this life as a wilderness. But remember, the point of difficulty, oh, let it be the point of a discovery. Is God not at work to make you walk after him? Like he says in Jeremiah 2, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. So when God is withholding things, then you... yeah, you are at a point to discover how much you depend on the Lord. And that would be the attitude of your heart. Why would you grumble? And that's also a question that we have about the people when we see them grumbling here. It's like they lift their fist to heaven. Really? Do they want to fight against God? Did they not see his power in Egypt? How dare they do that? So grumbling has to do with forgetfulness. They seem to have been forgotten. They had forgotten the power of the Lord shown in Egypt against their enemies. But also the goodness of the Lord shown to them. When they were led through the Red Sea, safe and secure. So grumbling is a matter of forgetfulness. Grumbling is a matter of lack of faith. Lack of faith. Not thinking about God. If you really would see who God is, we wouldn't grumble. We wouldn't dare to. He, the Holy God. He who sent his son into this world. So when we have that attitude of grumbling, we feel negative about circumstances, about people. We should think about the words that we read in the scripture part, that we do not grumble against people. They were not grumbling against their leaders. They were grumbling against God. Why? Were they grumbling against God? Well, God had given those leaders to them. That's one. And who are those leaders? Could they change the situation, make bread rain from heaven? They cannot. So they grumble against God. Our grumbling in this life is against the Lord. He is the one who in his sovereignty and his providence is ruling our lives. And when we would live by faith, we would see it and submit to it. But when we live by sight and feelings and experience, then anger comes in our hearts and we lose our temper. So the secret of not losing your temper is living by faith and see reality of the invisible things, to see that not the circumstances control our lives, but God does. He is ruling my life and your life from day to day. Do you believe that? That's what the Word is teaching us. And do you believe that He is wise and good, even or especially when you do not see it? And then at that point where you would live by faith, when you trust the Lord, you will not grumble. And you would be kept from losing your temper. So yeah, we have every reason. We have every reason to confess with the form of the Lord's Supper our guilt before God that we do not have a perfect faith. And that's why we lose our temper. Who are we? So instead of lifting their fist to heaven, what should they do? They should pray. Lord, thou knowest our situation. Thou hast brought us here in the wilderness to bring us to the promised land. And we have a lack of food. But we believe that thou art almighty and able to provide. Do you feel the difference between a humble prayer and those words which we read in the first verses of this chapter? Ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's the spirit of rebellion of our natural hearts. And yeah, it's a miracle that there's not fire coming from heaven. It's a miracle that we are here. It's a miracle that we are not consumed. It's only God's patience. His mercy is long-suffering, isn't it? Let us first sing. Let us sing Psalter 297, stanza 1 through 3. 297, stanza 1. Oh, praise the Lord, for He is good. His mercies still endure. 297, all stanzas. congregation, they should have prayed. And we should pray in our distress. What is your struggle at this very moment? What is discouraging you? What is the burden on your heart? Did you lay it before the Lord? And do you continue to lay it before the Lord? Do you pray without ceasing? Do you have that humble trust in your heart that He is leading you in the wilderness to have communion with Him, to depend on Him, and that He is wise and good in His dealing with you? Remember Christ, praying in the wilderness of this world, praying in the darkest night of the whole world history, when He would be betrayed and the guilt and the debt would be laid on Him, and He felt the burden in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me." He didn't finish there. He prayed, "Thy will be done and not mine. Thy will be done." That's a prayer which the Lord Jesus has been teaching His disciples. "Thy will be done." It's a prayer which Christ has taught His church. "Thy will be done." It's a prayer we should daily pray. "Thy will be done." Because Thy will is only good. So my will has to be changed, turned from rebellion to submission, to be united with the will of God. I'm not saying that it's not allowed to bring all your needs before the Lord, even the things that you desire which are not against His word, bring them before the Lord, but pray, "Thy will be done," and believe that His will is only good. This people is going to see the abundance which is provided by God, by the God against whom they murmured. "Your murmurings against the Lord," that's what Moses says. Moses said unto all the children of Israel, "At even then ye shall know that the Lord brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord." And what are we against us? The Lord heareth your murmurings against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against, but against the Lord. And then Moses is telling Aaron, verse 9, "And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He hath heard your murmurings." When you read that sentence, "come near before the Lord," it feels like now the Lord is going to be in judgment with them. They have to respond about what they did. There's going to be punishment. But then we read, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, that they are standing before the Lord. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. What does it mean? Well, it's probably hard to describe it. And it is not described here. It must have been something of that shining glory of the Lord. I don't know if you ever seen the beauty of a rainbow. You probably have seen it. And you watch it and you think, "This is beautiful." And that's a little thing compared to the glory of the Lord. And that's revealed here to the people. It appeared in the cloud. They see it. God is revealing himself, you could say, his glory to a guilty people, a grumbling people. That's astonishing that God is doing them, doing this to them, showing them this glory. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. God is going to teach them in an amazing way. The point of difficulty is the point of discovery. They see the glory of God, and they get to know that he is the Lord their God, that he is the God of the covenant, that he is faithful in all their grumblings and even rebellion. This is humbling. This should break the hearts. This should bring us very low before the Lord. They see the glory of God, and we do see the glory of God. Something like what the people saw, what the people experienced, is here this morning, where God is opening his word, where God is revealing his Son. And there's no way that we can see the glory of God in a deeper and higher way than in Christ. He is the expressed image of God. And here we see the shining glory and beauty of who God is in his love, but also his holiness and righteousness, that his Son is consumed at the cross there, the love and the righteousness of God meet each other. And it's revealed, it's proclaimed before the eyes of a people in rebellion, a sinful people. Before our eyes. And God said, he shall eat flesh, and in the morning he shall be filled with bread. I'm going to satisfy you. And he does. Paul says in Romans 5, we being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Justified by faith. We were enemies when God gave his Son. We were rebels. We live in rebellion by nature against God. God is revealing his glory. They turn to the wilderness and they see the glory of God. And we have this life in this world as in the wilderness. And God is coming also this morning to show you his glory. And that you will hear his promise. You will be filled with bread, with Christ. Submit. Submit to me. Humble yourselves. Trust. Trust in my Son. And you will be saved. Your soul will be satisfied. The Lord is keeping his word. And this evening there the quails come. And it's known that that could happen, but God was sending them in a multitude, in abundance. They could eat flesh. And in the morning there was manna raining from heaven. And they had to gather it. Yeah, you have to come to church. You have to be here to receive the bread of heaven. You have to read his word. You have to pray to seek the Lord. But it is given from heaven that your soul will be satisfied with Christ, with peace. Yeah, if you continue to read, if you read the book of Numbers and chapter 21, there is a different situation. And why is it different there? There the people complain and grumble again. And they say, Listen what they say in Numbers 21. Our soul loadeth from this light bread. And then God is sending fiery serpents, and they bit them, and many died. And Moses had to make a serpent of brass and lift it up that he could watch and see and be healed. And that doesn't happen here. Why not? Why not? Is it not the mercy of the Lord that he is so long-suffering? And there is a difference. Here the people just enter the wilderness. And they were unexperienced, you could say, to a certain extent. They didn't have the experience of rain, bread raining from heaven.